Chair. Doe. Savvy double X, nigga. I know it's hard, but you strong, gotta tighten your belt. You a man, be a man, put your pride on the shelf. And I ain't hating on your paces, on the climb to the wealth. Just making sure you know the basics and your knowledge yourself. I know it's hard, but you strong, gotta tighten your belt. You a man, be a man, put your pride on the shelf. And I ain't hating on your paces, on the climb to the wealth. Just making sure you know the basics and your knowledge yourself.
Good morning, you intelligent, rebellious motherfuckers. It's your boy, Doe Dudes. It's the very first episode of the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast, or the IRS, which I think is hilarious. I have no idea what I'm doing. I've just started, but we're getting everything together. We're fucking doing the things that we need to do to have a proper podcast and shit. I'm a fan of certain podcasts, so I'm just taking bits and pieces of what I know and the knowledge and all of the shit that I gained from listening to them and putting it together for mine, because I got shit that I want to talk about. I curse a lot and I smoke a lot of weed, but I have my own opinions, and my friends, the people that I talk to on a daily basis, have their own opinions, and I agree with them sometimes. I disagree with them. They're pretty interesting. Maybe you agree with them. Who knows? Today, I'm talking with a very, very great friend of mine, Lola V, beautiful young lady. And we're talking about quality of life and the things that we need to do to pretty much live better, be healthier. You know, we talk about marijuana and how the society pretty much like fucks us over on that and how they don't let us know the real benefits of marijuana. We talk about the pharmaceutical companies a little bit and just overall quality of life. And I think this is a great one for a first episode, just because this is pretty much the basis of the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast. Like, we're here to just help people open up their minds, be able to reach into certain pockets of their creativity to maybe help someone, help themselves, maybe live a better life. So it's good that me and Lola did this first episode about quality of life. I think you'll all dig it. She's definitely intelligent. She's definitely rebellious. And she has hella opinions. And I like the way she conveys some of her thoughts. And the stories that she's telling me just throughout our relationship has definitely changed my life for the better. So hopefully those same things can touch y'all. Pause. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, get your dubs ready. Pack your bowl. It's time for the Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast.
Marijuana can sell them and still not be approved by the FDA because they only contain natural ingredients. It's not until you start getting into the mixy shit that the FDA has to come in lawfully. That's why these people can crush up cranberries and put them in little capsules and sell them and then still have one bottle not claims not validated by FDA.
So you can make your own medications and shit and like sell them?
Yep. They have at Whole Foods, that's one thing that I saw at Whole Foods that I was like, yo, this is cool. They have an entire end cap of these little balls that you can take, and they come in like little pill canisters, but whatever your ailment is, they have a wall of ailments basically. And whatever it is, they have these little balls of crushed up natural herbs or powders or whatever, and you can buy them based on your ailment. It's really like the old school drugstore, like, or the old school, whatchamacallit, what did they call it? The medicine woman. Like, they did, like, you have to see it. Next time I go, I'll take a picture. But, like, it'll be like heartburn. Like, it's literally just laid out for you like that. Whatever your ailment is, morning sickness, you can look on their wall and find something natural that they're offering to help with.
So, when it comes to marijuana and how we all know of the benefits and all of the shit and the way that we treat it, when does it appeal to the woman who's basically grown up, or the man who's grown up with the DARE commercials in their brain? Like, you know, a joint can make you fucking eat your whole kitchen, or a joint could make you like crash and fall off a fucking ravine or whatever because you're so fucking high on marijuana. And then of course they see all of this stoner shit.
You have to deprogram people people and let them know that they were misinformed. Just like when they do these drug recalls, like, oh, we thought it was good, but now, no, it's bad. But, I mean, everything that people have now, you could turn on the TV. I remember turning on the news one day, and they were telling me how cranberry juice could give me cancer, pancreatic cancer.
Isn't that, like, the worst type of cancer, though?
And it's not even, well, it's like, you can't really cure it. I don't think they have pancreas implants or whatever. I think that's a solely, like, and I think by the time you know, I think that's why it's so fatal, that by the time it's known that you have it, because the symptoms present themselves, that, like, it's too late. Like ovarian cancer. By the time you know that you have it, you're probably at, like, stage 3, stage 4. So I think when it comes down to weed, like, people just have to, first of all, stop looking at it as weed and look at it for the different plants and stuff that it comes in, and, like, what hemp fibers and all of that other stuff can do, and the cost effectiveness of, if you tell people that there's a plant out there that can not only fuel their cars and reduce their heating bills because it's a natural heat conductor, if you build your house with it and all this other stuff, like, people would be on board, but they're not getting these facts, or if they're getting them, they're not getting them from sources that they trust, so they're like, I don't know, sounds like BS. But it will only take it being proven, and it can't be proven until people are really free to move around with it and do the things that they've been doing in secret with it. I think the turning point for my mom was when I was really telling her, like, yo, it's parents out here that's getting arrested because they are negating everything that Uncle Sam is telling them, and, like, really wanting their kids to feel better and giving them this med. Like, that wasn't their first choice. Modern medicine failed them. Their kid was having epileptic seizures, like, 3 and 4 times a day to none. I would risk jail all day for my kid to be able to walk without having a helmet on.
Word.
And so I think true. That's why she was like, because I put it in those terms, she was like, okay, so it's like a natural thing. Like, okay, like, now she's looking at it as medicine and not just something that boys do on a corner or college students do at a party.
Right. And I think that's what is most important when it comes to that, because the stigma behind marijuana is pretty fucking stupid. And when we actually educate people on the plant itself and actually what it does, I feel like it breeds a whole different type of culture and within our society, because now everybody would first go to marijuana. That's why I think it was better strategically for you to go to your mom and be like, yeah, these are the medical benefits, before you say, like, well, you know, it's nothing wrong with it, yo. Like, let everybody just get high and smoke, baby. Like, you know what I mean? Nah, it's like, before we get into the freedom of being able to have marijuana, let's get into the hard facts on why it's important to actually integrate this into everyday society for pretty much everyone. When you go to these health stores, it's plenty of hemp products. Hemp is totally legal for you to sell. You can eat it, you can wear it, you can fucking rub it on your body, you can do all of that shit. But when it comes down to what the cannabinoids can do and what actual cannabis sativa can do, that's not praised and celebrated or talked about as much as the hemp side of it.
Americans, they've tried it at least once.
Yeah, I think that, like, the stats are like in the 80s or 90s or some shit like that, where they've tried it or it's like continued use. I've been smoking since the 5th or 6th grade, but it wasn't until I became, like, you know, a young adult or whatever, where I found out, you know, all of these great other benefits and other than feeling just totally fucking awesome. When I found out about all of this stuff, and this is right around the time I met Ryan and getting into wax and concentrates and shit like that. I didn't know anything about fucking wax, but even just being able to concentrate marijuana into different, you know, forms of, you know, chemicals or whatever. And it's, you know, it's all natural. I mean, it has to be done in a, you know, a lab and all of that shit, but it's still a natural process because you're only using the extracts from this plant. So when used, you see these kids who are living an extremely better life because they eat marijuana or, well, you know, some of the older kids may smoke it. These things are helping. And I don't understand, well, I'm not going to say I don't understand, but I really feel like it's illogical to keep outlawing this thing just for the billions of dollars on the back end, because you'll get, you know, the money from the prisoners and all of this shit and the materials that you'll make.
Because anybody that buys clothes knows that cotton is pretty much out of here. Like, cotton is a thing now. To be able to buy something and it be 100% cotton, you are getting paid, like, you're getting set, rather, for that shirt, for that dress. Because they have to integrate a whole bunch of other kind of fibers, like nylon and rayon and polyester. Because how many cotton fields have you seen lately? How many places are there for cotton to even be grown anymore? In the order that you need to be able to produce a million pair of panties a month. Like, think of how many lingerie companies there are that are producing panties. Hanes and all of these t-shirts and all of this stuff. Do you know how much cotton they would need to harvest to continue to make cotton, on like 100% cotton shirts? How many clothes are like purchased by people throughout the year, and how many clothes just sit in the store for X amount of time because they can't get sold? Like, how much product is like really taken up by this crop? They had to stretch it. Just like food, they had to start stretching it because consumption is way outweighing actual production. So now 100% cotton is a thing. Organic cotton is a thing because they had to make cotton GMOs. Like, this is crazy. So when you introduce the fact that, like, you can have hemp that grows way easier, it's a lot easier to harvest, you can do that in a whole bunch of different places because you don't need the expanse of fields that you would need for cotton, like, it's just way more logical. I think if they had a marijuana education convention, like a seminar, it would be packed. And it wouldn't just be packed by people who already smoke or know the shit that they know about hemp. It would be a whole lot of people who are just curious and really want to know what the hell. If you had the whole convention center rented out and it was mad booths about different stuff that you could do with hemp products, marijuana products, from everything from health to recreational to living to technology and all of that and medicine, yo, like, people would come. That shit would be sold out quick fast. Because people are looking for that now. That's why now even more, like, even though it's kind of like, you think Mortal Kombat 2 Sub-Zero's fighting, how their powers be beating in the middle?
Yeah.
I really think that that's where the world is at with it now. Like, you have a big push for people to do this generic, like, GMO and fast food, lab food lifestyle, fast clothes, get your diesel fuel car, drive a Hummer. You have just as many people now pushing back with, no, we need to do something different. Like, we have to have more organic this, we have to do that. That's why it's a thing now, because these people are out here. It's just they don't get as much press. It's the opposite. The opposite is being ran by the powers that be.
Right. And, you know, it's another thing that's important. It's like, there wouldn't be organic anything if it wasn't money in it. If it wasn't a demographic that was paying for it, demanding it, and wanting it in their lives. So it's like, they wouldn't, you know, all these, you know, natural by nature, and, you know, and all this stuff like that. These people wouldn't be in business if it wasn't for people buying these products. So because that's a thing, because I see the heavy flow of people who buy all natural and or organic foods, I see this shit. So I already know that if people who are eating Kellogg's and all of this GMO shit, if they were able to go to a seminar, like you said, about marijuana, but also seminars like that about organic, clean living, green living, it would be way more accepted in society, and nobody would just scoff it off as you're a fucking hipster.
Because people think this. They be like, yo, I gotta do, like, the people who go to the doctors and have high blood pressure or diabetes, they be like, yo, I gotta eat different, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. But then they get frustrated or they give up because they don't know where to go from there. My doctor told me to only not eat salt and all this other shit, but like, okay, everything has salt in it. I'm a single man, I'm old, I don't cook, like, I have to eat these microwave dinners if I want to eat, basically. I live in a room, I only have a hot plate, if that. Like, I don't have an apartment, like, I have to eat. I have a microwave in a mini fridge, like, this is my life, and like, people are like, so they do that, but if they now know or have the option, and it's all about what's in that area, like, corner stores don't really carry, like, produce, they carry,
well, some do, some do, you know, but, you know, a lot of,
they carry it, but they don't carry it,
right, it's not like the, you know, laid out oranges on the corner, like in the street, like back in the day, like you would see, you know, in New York or something. I'm pretty sure they still have some out there, of course, but it's not as abundant as it was in another time.
Even if you do buy it, it's not just for you, like.
Yeah, and it's still. And it's still. And
it, apples have so much pesticide in them, yo. Crazy.
And, you know, and that's another thing that we need to, like, actually expand on. I feel like mass media and the billionaires use GMO as a scare tactic. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, GMO tonight on the news and shit like that. They'll pump it up as this evil thing, but it's like a silent killer or kills you over time. So it's like a person who only has $20 or, you know, I'm not going to make it that extreme, but a person who only has a certain amount of money in their budget to pay for food for a family of four or five or whatever. These people are like, well, yeah, GMOs are bad, because I've talked to people. GMOs are bad, but yo,
cereal is $5 for $10.
Right, yeah, you get the economy size for $5 fucking. It's like, yo, I can feed my family on this box of cereal that doesn't expire pretty much ever until, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the preservatives in this shit is lasting for months, so we can eat off of that for a while now. So it's like, when you give these people the choice, you know, they're duped in that sense, because the hard facts is, and you can look it up, I don't have the actual stats with me right now, but the reason why it's important for you to pay that extra dollar or whatever for your food to get it natural or organic is because you're going to pay for that, if you don't, in medical bills in the future. Like, that's all that's going to happen. There's never been somebody who's consuming pretty much all GMOs and didn't have to go to the doctor or the hospital for something either that was major, or they had to keep going frequently because they felt fucked up. So it's like, you're going to keep paying for these visits. You're going to keep taking off of work. You're going to keep digging in your pocket for way more than you would if you would just paid that extra overall, maybe $20 to $50 in your groceries. Because, like, yo, deadass, when you go, and I'm not even, you know, I can't front on myself because I do have that discount at my job. But when I'm comparing prices, it's really cents on a dollar to a dollar more or something like that. I feel like if you're willing, and it's, and the thing is, I really don't like when people compare, you know, complain about the prices of high food when they pay for what the fuck ever they want in any other capacity. They'll pay $200 or $100 for their iPhone, but they, you know what I'm saying, even though there's Boost Mobile out there for $50, but they won't pay an extra dollar or two for fucking healthy food. Like,
I've been going through that struggle with myself still, even knowing what I know. I be in Target like, this butter is $5 for organic butter. But you know what? This is the shit, though. The organic butter in Target is actually cheaper now than the non-organic Land O'Lakes butter that they sell at ShopRite. Butter is up to $7. That is crazy to me.
I think it's so funny because, like, you bake and shit, so it's like the butter prices are like a...
butter prices are serious. Like, butter used to go on sale, it was like $1.99. Butter was $1.99 when it used to go on sale. And then it went up to, when it was on sale, it was $2.50. Now, when it's on sale, it's $3.99. And the regular prices run between $7 and $5. And that's ridiculous for butter. Now, I can go to Target. And I keep talking about Target because Target is really stepping it up, yo. Because it went from Target only having one or two things to Target really, like, integrating their buyers is really, like, I've been to four different Targets so far. Like, some have more organic stuff than the others, but their buyers are really trying, yo.
It's wild.
That is out here, and I can get a pound of organic butter from there for $4.59.
I just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to the education of what GMOs truly are, what is important about eating organic and natural foods is something that isn't, it's like pimp. It's filtered so hard and it's made, like they make it so blurry. They don't make it clear. They don't make it, you know, comprehensible at all. They want you to like have to do a whole bunch of crazy research. But when it comes to, you know, knowing about this pill or whatever, they'll lay those shits out on a commercial. But when it comes to those foods, they won't say that shit.
This is a bill. Obama actually passed the bill where they didn't have to label it, nor did they have to say. And you know why? They can't give you the effects of GMOs, and you only have these rogue groups that's telling you it'll give you this, it'll give you that, it gave this to lab rats, it gave this to these people. And as soon as they switched to organic lifestyles, all of this shit stopped or it got better or whatever the case may be. They can't give you these facts because they don't know. This is a new thing. They've been slowly integrating it into our daily diets with the processed food, with the cheese flavored and this product. But at the same time, and we've just talked about, you know, how time span is like in human years, it's really a blink. Like, we're not... This is not a long time ago as far as the real time frame goes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, a 90-year-old person is still like a blink of an eye on a, like, yeah, a 5 billion year old Earth.
It's
right,
not even
man.
A blink. It's just like, maybe all the human ages and years collectively can create some type of actual
dent, you know, in time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Individually, or, yeah.
Yeah. Individually, though, it's insane. So only for like the last 20, 25 years, they've been integrating, oh, well, you can get this product cheaper. We can artificially flavor this for you, and you don't have to pay for the fruit to do it. And, well, we just going to make this powder, and then they can add sugar and call it juice. Like, it's not even, like, Kool-Aid is that, like, think about how that's a thing that people consider to be juice.
Yo, I am so glad I am off Kool-Aid. That was one of the best changes I made in my fucking life. And I'm so glad that even with the fucking racial stigma that black people love Kool-Aid and all that shit, like, I'm seeing my people more and more getting off that shit. Like, I don't see Kool-Aid being praised as it once was. Because niggas know that shit ain't good. And even if, you know, they don't know, I'm saying it now. That shit is disgusting. Fuck Kool-Aid. That shit is not good for you. Drink real fucking juice and drink water. Like, that's the only... Like, fuck that shit. If you... Like, you're not mixing powder to make a drink, B. That's not how it goes.
It's not how it goes at all. And the thing is that they've been integrating this, but... It takes people's lifetimes to really know long-term effects of this, of stuff.
Right.
They know that the sun does certain things that the sun does. They know that sun can cause sun cancer because they have
sun cancer.
Of like, you can't put something out there and then test it in a lab. Like, the scientists will tell you that we don't know. And they don't, they say they don't know, but then they say that there's no reason to feel like it's going to cause any long-term effects. But they said that about laser eye surgery, and they had to revamp that mad time because it was making people go blind. And people went from having meat and glasses to being completely blind.
Irreversible?
Well, they could fix it, but they have to go back into your eye with a laser.
Yeah, right. Like, it's not even like they're changing their technique. They're going back to do the same thing that made you blind to me blind. Like, that's fucked up.
They had infomercials and on the TV, they was pushing this pill, Fen-Phen, for people to get skinny. And, oh, everybody take Fen-Phen. It's approved by the FDA. And then turn around and a year later, they like, for the love of God, please stop taking Fen-Phen. It's killing people. It's killing people. If you had bleeding internally, like, stop it. Just stop.
In the grand scheme of all of these things, like, you have to know that this is going to happen again. This is not a new phenomenon with these pills. These pills never work. Like, I've never heard of a pill truly that work? Like, one of these pills that's supposed to stop pain or whatever the fuck you're supposed to stop. Like, you just take them shits until you die. Like, I still haven't seen a pill where, like, all right, I took them, maybe I'll give it a year. I took them for a year, and now I'm clear of all of that shit that I took them for. Like, I've never heard that story. Nobody has ever fucking told me, like, I don't take these pills anymore because I don't need them. It's, I don't take these pills anymore because that shit was killing me. I don't take these pills anymore because fuck it. They never fucking say that this pill actually helped me. So I feel like if we can transfer all of that shit to the knowledge of natural herbs, natural fucking weeds, roots, natural, all of these things that people can actually use to help their bodies, that should be promoted more than these fucking bullshit ass pills and the natural shit that they be trying to exploit from these other islands or other countries that, like, they try to exploit it in a way that shit's so fucking rare and exotic and shit. Like, nah, motherfucker, you just need to be using this shit all the time so we can fucking live longer. And the shit that we do have in the country that we can grow, like roots and or whatever that is sustainable in this part of the world, we need to grow those shits naturally, organically, and actually use it for what it's for. That's why motherfuckers live long. That's why motherfuckers have prosperous lives and have positive energy and positive lives. This is why the Native Americans have long, beautiful hair and fucking clear ass skin, and they didn't use fucking anything. They don't know what the fuck a dermatologist was. They just live clean. There is no group of people on this planet that just lived strictly off the earth that was dying faster than they needed to, or that was having hella disease or none of that shit. It was only time when man-made filth and all of that shit started infecting the body because they were doing outworldly shit to their bodies. When you're living from the earth and you only eating what's coming out of the fucking earth or coming off of a tree, you're good. You don't, there is no fucking chemicals in that other than what it was born with, just like you. So that's why it corresponds with your body so well, because everything is just a life form. You're eating a life form. Like, plant life is a living thing. When you pull an orange or apple off of a tree, you're pulling an extension of a living thing and you're biting into a living thing. Soil is an actual organism. That shit is not just there to be dirt. Like, soil is a life form. And when, if people were to know these things about nature, I think they would treat it much different. And if, and I'm not saying that they would know about it just on some, like, small seminar. This shit needs to be mass media. This shit needs to be that's on plastered all over the fucking television, how great it is to fucking pick up some goddamn litter for real. Like, really drill it in motherfuckers' head. Really, really have those fucking trash cans out there. State built in, and, like, because they have vending machines and fucking those pop-ups, newspaper spots that's still standing no matter what weather, but these lackey-ass, slacky-ass fucking garbage cans are out there. They don't even pick the recycling and shit up. They don't promote recycling. So, you know, when you see this shit, really, it's just minor efforts to get people to recycle. Like, oh, come on, bro. I'm gonna put this poster up. Like, come on, bro. Put your fucking bottle in the bottle thing. Like, nah, man, you need that, make that a standard. Like, dead ass, stop fucking littering. Like, you know what I'm saying? Pick your fucking trash up. When it comes to from the mass media telling you to do shit, people are gonna do it. Cause that's what everybody does. Motherfucker tell you that it's some hot shit on the market that you need to go buy, you're gonna go buy it. So when it comes to a quality of life and telling people what they need to really look into when it comes to eating, living right, exercising, whatever the fuck you need to do to make sure you live longer, that should be the main focal point when we're talking about lifestyle television or lifestyle newspaper, lifestyle media, period. That should be on the forefront. Living longer and living healthier. That should be naturally, rather. Like, you know what I'm saying? All of that on a natural standpoint. And you have these facts. The only reason that you are able to live this long is because of the natural things that help these people live long. We're not basing the Native Americans living for a long time or people that live, you know, from the earth, living a long time from nothing else but the facts. These people use these instruments or whatever to live longer, and it worked for them, and it needs to be spread at high, high, high amounts. Everybody gets programmed to buy a fucking McDonald's burger. We need to be programmed to fucking want to have fruits and vegetables every day, to drink water all day, to, you know what I'm saying, to want to be healthy. That shit, that's the shit that we need to be brainwashed into. But they don't do that.
I'm not sure that people, I think it's then it's too, it's like a frustration of like when you go into stores, you have to look and read stuff. People don't want to do that. That's why Weight Watchers doesn't really work. Because people can't keep up with counting calories and points and all of that. So they was like, oh, you don't have to count calories, count points instead. Point system, point system. But even that is something that people just can't consistently keep up with. And when you do these things, they have to be lifestyle changes and not just for the day or something that you can maintain for a week. That's why real nutritionists and dietitians will tell you don't go on a diet because, like, this girl on my Instagram, and she lost 120 pounds, Hispanic, she's Dominican, and she's talking about, yeah, I love tostones, but it's not worth the calories and blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, 3 ounces of tostones is 170 calories or something, and it wasn't worth the calories. I was like, whoa, 170 calories? And she was like, yeah, you know, I had to do the same thing with the rice and beans. And she be posting her meals, and, you know, she makes meals for herself throughout the week, and then she feeds her family normal food. They're not eating like birds like she is. And while she got skinny off of doing this, she has to be able to literally maintain eating this way in addition to working out like she's been doing otherwise. Because now this is where her body is conditioned to know in order to be this weight or that size. You can't do anything different. So this means you're not eating cake anymore, you're not eating soda, like you're not eating any of this stuff anymore because it would throw your body off. And dietitians will tell you that, they say, do what you can maintain for you, but in a healthier manner. That's why, like, a lot of them don't even tell people, you know, don't eat snack, don't eat this, don't eat that anymore. They said, don't eat as much. If when you have this, just make sure you, okay, if you eat pizza that day, then just take a little bit of an extra longer walk. You can do that. But when you telling somebody, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't do this, don't do that, then people get frustrated. They just say, forget it. That's why diets fail, because people can't maintain that on a daily lifestyle. You cannot eat for 2 or 3 days, but then your body's survival mode is going to kick in, and it's going to be like, no, you need to eat. And now because you're starving, you're going to eat everything. When if you have been eating for the last 3, 4 days, you know, you wouldn't do that. Instead of eating 6 times that day, you would have only ate 2 or 3 because you weren't feeling like you were famished and about to pass out.
Well, I mean, it's actually advised to eat small throughout the day, but if you're going to starve yourself, yeah, that's fucking...
The thing about it, like, you have to be able, whatever you do for your lifestyle, you have to be able to maintain it. So you're telling people to eat organic, and people want to eat better, yo. And then they come in there, and they go into Whole Foods, and they're still buying conventionally grown vegetables that they could have got at a regular supermarket for cheaper. Because they have the all-natural and the organic stuff mixed in with conventional. And that's really no different than any other supermarket. The only difference is that they also have a higher abundance of organic stuff. But people don't want to come in and have to read labels and look at stuff. So when people go and make decisions like, I'm going to shop at Wegmans or Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, they're automatically taking his name and what the supermarket is supposed to represent, and they're applying it to every single product in that supermarket. Now, I'm not reading nothing. I don't have to. It says gluten-free. I'm getting it. Now, gluten-free does not mean GMO-free. It does not mean pesticide-free. Gluten-free means that there is no wheat product in it. But now, because it's in Whole Foods and it costs $8, this is gluten-free, and I'm buying it. Avocado, $1.50. Conventionally grown. But I can get this same avocado for 69 cents at a regular supermarket, conventionally grown. But because this is Whole Foods, I'm buying it because in my head, everything here is better.
Everything is healthier, yeah.
So people just buy. They just buy. But they're doing it because now they feel like the frustration of going into a regular supermarket is taken away, even though it's not. And that's like a lot why a lot of people don't eat. Like, it's not even so much the price, it's now I gotta search for it. Look for this stuff on the shelf instead of just going to a shelf and picking up stuff.
And that
people don't like to do it. Nah. People do it.
And I've noticed that one of the standards at my job, like the CEO, you know, he was talking to us. He let us know a whole bunch of things about the background of the store and in the company and stuff like that. And one of the things that I've noticed in the products, and I say this a lot to the customers, is like, on any given product that you pick up and turn over and you look at the ingredients list, you can find each one of those ingredients. You should, I can say confident, like, you can find it in our store. Like, you can go and look, it's milk, cornstarch, whatever is on that ingredients list, you can go on one of these shelves and find it. But I feel like that should be the standard for supermarkets. And then you can cross that over into pharmacies as well. Of course, you know, there are certain chemicals you just can't have by themselves on the fucking shelf. But that should let you know that shit should be a little more naturally driven using, you know, roots and stuff like that. But just jumping back to food, that was one of the things that we can pride ourselves on in our ingredient standards. Like, we're not going to have red number two on any of these shits. We're not going to have any of those crazy chemical names and all of that in our foods unless, you know, it's a natural chemical in a sense, or, you know, just comes from nature. And I feel like all supermarkets from fucking my job, where it's only 11 stores in the chain, to fucking Walmart, if you can't fucking find these things on the shelf, you shouldn't sell it. It's food. You're supposed to eat this shit.
My uncle, when we were in the section with the all the holistic medicines or whatever, he was like, yeah, well, you know, in the book that I read when I first became vegan, it said, we were talking about skin products at that point. He said, the writer said, if you wouldn't put it in your body, you shouldn't put it on it.
Yeah, shouts out the coconut oil.
Yeah, like, the apple cider vinegar, the coconut oil, and all of this stuff that has multiple uses. And you don't have to change the chemical imbalance of it to use it. You could use it as a shampoo or to cook food exactly how it is.
Right. And it'll have benefits. Like, it would apply. It's not like you just fucking putting shit in your hair and eating it. It's like, I got something for your scalp and I got something for your insides. I don't just stop there.
And I was like, yo, and I just stopped and looked at them because that made more sense than anything I had heard in a long time about why it's actually better to buy natural deodorant or all that other stuff. Because, like, if you think about it, like, yo, why would I put... Because our skin is porous. We absorb everything we put on it into our bloodstream. That's why they tell pregnant women, you're not supposed to get relaxers and you're not supposed to color your hair. Because it seeps into your bloodstream. And there's no real way of knowing, you know, how that affects your baby.
Message.
They tell women that. Don't get relaxers. Don't dye your hair. So I was like, yo, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, because I was reading about how fucking... my favorite deodorant be having like aluminum and shit like in the deodorant. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, then I'm hearing about Colgate is having some, I'm not just talking about fluoride, I forgot what they have in it, because that's made me switch to Tom's, you know, like that's, it was like some crazy metal that's in fucking your toothpaste. And it's like, yo, like what? The way I look at it with my simple brain is just like how you cut cocaine, you get baking soda to cut the shit. So it's like, to make more, we're gonna put this in it to stretch it. Like, and that's all how I look like adding these additives in these creations, as far as toothpaste, deodorant, and lotion, it's just to make it stretch, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. I gotta stop fucking with it. And I love, like, Degree, that shit is right. But, you know, I have to wise up. You can't keep just spreading fucking aluminum in my armpit. That's just not how it goes.
Yeah, because it causes... Like, it's right there directly next to the your chest area. And the claims with the aluminum and stuff that they put into that deodorant is that it causes breast cancer. Because you have, like, a constant seepage of these metals in the concentrated area.
And you know what's so crazy about that? Like, as far as if the only option was to use Degree or not have any type of antiperspirant, my coworker, I'm not going to say her name and shit, but she doesn't wear deodorant. Like, it's clear that she doesn't wear deodorant because I can smell that she doesn't wear deodorant. But her at the end of the day, like, she's probably gonna live longer. Like she's probably healthier because of it. You know, it's, I mean, there's definitely still options, like, where you can deodorize yourself naturally, but she just chooses not to at all.
So, like, slowly but surely, because, like I said, it's a lifestyle change. And people who do it in the same manner that we've been doing it, like, gradually, to the point where, unless it's, like, put in front of you, I personally don't think that you even miss it. And, I mean, it's going to be...
I still have my steak, you know, once in a while, but, you know, that's still rare. Steak pun.
But I think that it's a matter of, like, it's going to be the same thing because I'm really, like, working towards being vegan.
Word. That's my ultimate goal as well, yo. And, you know.
Like, I want to work towards being vegan, but I know that because it's a consistent lifestyle change that I have to do it gradually, whereas I don't shock myself into just completely being like, no.
Yeah, like, last week I had chicken and now today is fuck that.
To allow yourself that wiggle room, and when you do that, like, it's okay. Like, people who work out at the gym all the time or whatever, they'll tell you, like, they be eating, yo. They come to birthday parties and have cake.
Yeah.
And they don't punish themselves for it, because my lifestyle allows me to be able to do this basically guilt-free, because I know that tomorrow, regardless of if I had cake or not, I was going to the gym.
They actually prefer to have a healthy snack, so when they do have a cupcake or whatever, it's not a problem, because first of all, I haven't had a cupcake in a while because I replaced that, not just totally just threw it out of the, you know, water. I can't have snacks. No, I just replaced it with healthy snacks. So it's when I have that one cupcake maybe once every couple months or whatever, because I'm at a birthday party or I have a piece of cake, I'm fucking straight, because I still have my regimen of fucking healthy snacks.
That's why everything that happens gradually is just better for you. I haven't cooked beef or actually bought it for the house, like, in the last 3 or 4 months, I think. And I was like, okay, what am I going to have for lunch? I was like, yo, I really want corned beef. But I'm like, no, but I'm not eating beef no more. But it was bothering me so bad. So, like, I got a corned beef sandwich, and then I have not had beef since. Like, again, like, I just haven't had it. I didn't deprive myself of it that day.
Right. I feel like that's very important. Like, when I think of diet or, like, the positive side of it, I just feel like it's somebody eating differently. Like, everything is replaced with something. Nothing was taken away in a sense that, like, I just can't have snacks no more, or I can't have this anymore. Like, it's not that.
It's not gonna last. It's not gonna last. People like that don't last. Or if they do, then they'd be very unhappy. And then they try to make everybody else around them unhappy.
Because that's another thing, yo. Your outlook on life, it depends a lot on your diet, yo, on what you eat. Like, people don't understand, like, when you live healthy, you have to eat healthy. And if that's the case and you're eating healthy, you live better. And because you live better, your life is better. And because your life is better, you feel better. And because you feel better, you treat the world way better. You treat others better. So when you turn all of that shit around, it's like you treat people shitty because you feel bad. Because you feel bad because you fucking live bad. You live bad because you eating bad, and you eating bad because your fucking health is bad. Like, it just all goes right back. So when people actually turn around and change what they're eating in a fundamental way, where the shit's, first of all, actually good, it tastes good to you, because that shit, people eating nasty shit just to get, you know, thinner is stupid to me, because you're gonna quit, you're going to fucking gain your weight back, because you're gonna go right back to the shit that you said that you weren't gonna eat anymore, and you're gonna just fucking hate yourself for it. So if you would just fundamentally, just logically switch, like, okay, like, that's why I don't really knock people who do the tofu thing, because they use that as a base to make whatever. Like, they got the tempeh, the tofurkey shit, they have all of these other things that they can use as a substitute, and that's why a lot of them stay on that path, because they got introduced to tofu in a healthy manner. I don't fuck with tofu personally. It's cool, like, I had it in the miso soups, you know, and all of that, that's cool, but I wouldn't have a tofurkey type diet. I'm already...
Because that would be a shock to your system and what you're used to. If you wanted to live a vegan lifestyle and you continuously, gradually eased yourself into it and started trying different things. Like, it could have just been that the way it was prepared or the way it looked to you was just like, no, I know I can have better things than this, or I can eat better things than this, or this is not something that I would crave. Your whole perception would be different if your diet didn't consist of a lot of other stuff at that point. And I think that when people make the conscious decision to just be vegetarian or be like, I'm never eating that again, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, then they put too much pressure on themselves to maintain that, and that ends up being that they just can't do it at all. Like, people be like, I'm not eating salt, I'm not eating sugar, and then turn around and they have 8 cupcakes. So you're diabetic and you're eating 8 cupcakes. Like, my professor was talking about her father, and she said, yeah, my dad was the type to have a jelly donut in one hand and his insulin needle in the next.
What?
She said he would never, like, he was diabetic, but he had his medicine, so he's going to continue. Like, he wasn't giving up his donuts. And if you're telling me that this counteracts this, then I'm going to just make sure I take my shot. And that was his premise, because he didn't have any concept of change or whatever. And he was just looking at it as they want to take all of it away from me. Whereas if it was probably introduced in a different manner, like have less of this and more of that, or let's try eating this instead.
Who knows, yo? Like, it kind of actually would have been better. Like, what it came from me and, like, you know, fucking with produce and stuff like that came from pineapples. Pineapples to me is like, pineapples and mangoes to me are like the best tasting natural things. Like, is nothing naturally comes out of the ground and tastes that goddamn good. Like, I just feel like pineapples are the goat fruit. So it's like, that's what I started, like, just recently, like, just changing. Like, if I want a fucking snack, or if I want to really, like, grub on some shit, I'm going to eat. But just offhand and shit, like, I'm eating more pineapple. I'm eating more fruit and shit, because that sweetness, like, I'm getting the sugar. I'm getting all of the shit that I want out of a snack, and it's good for me. So it's like, if he had that, if he had a sweet something that was good for him, he would have been straight. Like, because when you told me that story just now, like, I'm just picturing a dude literally having, like, a jelly donut and an insulin shot and taking that shit at the same time. Like on some strung out sugar junkie. Like, he dead ass just couldn't shake it. A person with, like, lung cancer who keeps smoking cigarettes type shit. But this is, like, a 2 hour and 8 second conversation. I'm pretty mad because the first half of this conversation was fire. And we'll never, ever remember it. But, yeah, we will. I'm sure we will. All of this shit just pretty much, it boils down to education and being well aware of how to live better. I feel like that's where the importance of just all this shit talking came from. Like, it's just showing the importance of living way fucking better than we're living now, and stop eating and doing other stupid shit to kill us.
On what way you go, or what quality of life you'll have at a certain point. And I don't think that people really value the quality of life that they would have if they changed certain stuff. They just look at, well, I'm going to die anyway. Yes, but you can also not die having an oxygen tank on and emphysema. Like, you could not die by not having to go to dialysis because you didn't drink water, but you drank vodka like a fish.
Right.
You can definitely have the option of maybe, because it's possible you could get in a car crash and die anyway, but maybe, just maybe, dying in your sleep at a ripe old age of some old age. No more beats, as opposed to you having kidney failure and actually dying in a fucking hospital room in full pain. So it's all about quality of life. Your quantity is not important to you, and I can dig that, but what about the quality? And that's why I'm all on, like, trying to get to that vegan lifestyle, because I know if I do that eliminates a lot of things that just through my genetics would cause me to have diabetes, or
it,
like,
totally eliminates that shit.
Heart failure, like, all of this shit, like, it's coming for me if I choose to not take heed eat while I'm still in good health in those aspects. While my cholesterol is still good, while my heart is clear and all of that, like, I have to make those life changes now. Because if I don't, later, that's coming for me.
It's just important for education. And that's, like, based off of everything that we said earlier. Like, educating yourself and having access to the knowledge and to the resources is most important. Like, people have to have access, the easy access to organic foods, to what's better for their lifestyle, to not, to just themselves as human beings and not beating themselves up for not meeting certain standards and being able to do things in a way that's manageable. I think if we could do that as human beings, we would all be a lot better off. And it would take a lot of stuff off of the table. Like, healthcare wouldn't even be a thing when most people are way too healthy to do anything other than to go to the doctor to make sure that they're nothing unseen. Like, that they are actually in perfect health. We could get ourselves to that point where we're going to the doctors for maintenance checkups and not, you know, because we're breaking down, then I think we would have made progress.
That's like this doobop. Mm-hmm. So how'd you guys like it? Dope. You like the opinions? Told you Lola had hella opinions. She's so dope, man. She's very, very cool. I fuck with her. But yes, that is what we do here. That is the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was mad fun making it. Staying up all night, chopping it up and editing, make sure that we sound cool. And, you know, that was real fun for me. Understand this was the first time, so we weren't properly prepared. We usually would have stats and all the right facts in front of us and shit. So this one was more opinion driven, but there's still some facts in there. A lot of gems of knowledge in there that y'all could soak up. I don't think any of the things that we said to y'all were poison or something that was going to be counterproductive or hurt you in any way. I believe in what we said. I believe that everything that we said was a positive thing. So fuck with it. Dig it, soak it in, let it marinate. I'm definitely going to try to drop these shits every week. Pretty much that's the standard for podcasts and shit. That's cool. And like I said, hopefully y'all dig it. Oh, one fun fact about the phone call in the podcast. Lola was at work. Lola is a clerk at her job, and she handles with the cashier, and she was dealing with clients while she was doing this talk with me, and she was real dope, because, like, I think phone, conversations aren't allowed, like, personal calls aren't allowed, and she thugged it out with me for, like, 2 hours on the phone, and still dealt with clients and customers and shit. So you hear the money machine and all that going off the cash register. And what better theme for her to be doing that on the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast? I thought that was really dope. So yeah, we out here, y'all. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Next week, Ryan Raw and whatever the fuck he got going on. Savvy Double X, it's my nigga. And always, stay intelligent, stay rebellious. Squad. I think the badass bitch in some high top. I think this badass bitch in some high top whites. I met a badass bitch in some high top whites. Now I got a badass bitch in some high top whites.